Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw about Judah and Jerusalem in the days of the kings Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. It was a pretty long time that Isaiah was preaching, and the sad thing is for the prophets, they worked so hard through all those years, and yet so few people responded, but they kept on going, and that's the thing. Listen, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Now in the Bible, the heavens and the earth often refer to a system of things. The heavens are like the rulers, and the earth is like the ordinary people. And that's why, by the way, when you read sometimes that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, it doesn't mean that this earth, this planet, is going to be destroyed, because God promised to give this world, this earth, to Abraham and his seed forever. So it's not going to be destroyed. But sometimes heaven and earth is used in a figurative way in the Bible, just for the rulers and the ordinary people, for the whole of society. And God says, I have nourished and brought up children, but they rebelled against me. That's so awful, for all your effort into bringing up your children, then they hate you. The ox knows his owner, and the ass or the donkey knows his master's crib. But Israel doesn't know me, my people don't consider. So even animals have a certain fondness and loyalty to their owners who feed them. But God's people weren't like that with him. It's really awful that they weren't like that. Oh, you sinful nation, the people who are loaded down with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly. They have left the Lord. They've despised the Holy One of Israel. They've turned away and gone back. Why will you still revolt more and more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness, but there's only wounds and bruises and sores. They've not been closed up nor bound up, nor have they had oil poured upon them. So then this is the picture then of Job, I think, covered with boils and sores. And he's saying, why are you going to be like this? You don't have to be like this. And so that's really God's appeal to people, that they don't have to be like this. And this is what we're saying to people out in the world. You don't have to be like this. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, the Gentiles are devouring it in your presence, and it's desolate. And the daughter of Zion, that's the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, is left like a little temporary tent or shed in a vineyard, as a lodge in a field of cucumbers, as a besieged city. And of course, a lot of Isaiah's relevance was to the time when Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, surrounded Jerusalem with his huge armies. And then eventually, the angel of the Lord goes out, just one angel, and kills 185,000 of them. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom and Gomorrah. So hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, and you people of Gomorrah. So then, Israel were no better than the Sodom and Gomorrah, whom God destroyed with fire and sulphur. But God left a very small remnant, and because of the sake of that small remnant, for their sakes, Jerusalem was not totally destroyed. So you see, it's always been a remnant. Israel themselves were a tiny nation, but it was only a very few of them, of that tiny nation, who were really God's true people. So the true number of God's true people is very small. For what reason, then, is this multitude of sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I don't delight in the blood of bulls, lambs, and he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked you to do this, to trample my courts? Don't bring me any more vain sacrifices. Your incense, sweet-smelling perfume that they burnt to God, I hate it. I hate you keeping the Sabbath. I can't bear your solemn meeting, your new moons and your feasts. My soul hates. They trouble me. I'm weary of putting up with them. When you spread forth your hands, that's in pretending to pray to God, I will hide my eyes from you. And when you make many prayers, I won't listen, for your hands are full of blood. So you see, just doing the religious stuff, going to church and even the solemn meeting, which might be the equivalent of breaking bread, just doing those things of themselves will not save you. And God actually might be really angry with you for doing that, because if in your heart you're far from him, of course he doesn't like it if you come to him and say, oh, we love you, God. And so he says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away your evil doings from before me, stop doing evil, and learn to do well. Seek justice, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. So seek justice. He's saying, look, be proactive. Get out there and try to help people in their situation. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Even if your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they will be white as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So, the great thing is that although your sins can be red, they can be made white as wool, and we know that that is through the red blood of Jesus. That doesn't make any sense. How can something that's red be made white? By putting something red on it. Well, that's the point. That's the power of the sacrifice of Jesus, that he had our human nature. He was not a sinner, of course, but he had our nature. And it's through faith, really, in that which doesn't make sense, humanly speaking, that we're saved. That his red blood makes our red sins white. How is the faithful city, that's Jerusalem, become a harlot? She who was once full of justice and had righteousness living in her, but now murderers live in her. Your silver has become corrupted. Your wine is mixed with water. Your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. You see, God doesn't practice guilt by association, but he does see that who you choose as your friends is significant. They were companions of thieves, because who we choose to be friends with shows the sort of people we are. And it's very often people's choices of friends that lead them into so many problems. They don't judge the fatherless nor the cause of the widow. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the mighty one of Israel, I will revenge myself upon these my enemies, and I will turn my hand against you, and I will purge away your dross, and will take away all the tin, and I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counsellors as at the beginning, and afterwards you will be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. Zion will be redeemed with justice, and her converts with righteousness. But the destruction of transgressors and sinners will be together, and those who forsake the Lord will be consumed. For they will be ashamed of the oaks which you desired. They used to worship these oaks. And you will be confounded for all the gardens that you've chosen. You'll be like an oak whose leaf does not fade, and as a garden that has no water. And the strong will be just like kindling that's burnt very easily. And they will be burnt up together, and none will quench them. So then, in the end, people will be ashamed of their idols. They will be ashamed of them. And yet, that will be in the day of judgment. They'll be ashamed of them. But the point is, we've got to be ashamed of them now and realize that I do not want anything apart from the one true God.